Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Did not get a chance to do a live show yesterday because fall break had me camping with my family, so that was a good thing. And I missed the debate, so I wasn't able to watch the debate Sunday night. But fortunately, this day and age, transcripts are pretty readily available, so I went over to Fortune, believe it or not, fortune.com, found the full transcript of the debate. I was able to read through everything and get as up to speed as I think I needed to be. Without the body language and the tone of the answers, I can assume, based on what the answers were, the responses, I could assume what it looked like in the debate, so I don't think I missed a lot there. But lots of interesting things, I think some telling elements in this, especially in light of the recent discovery of this hot mic, as it's called, this recording of this TV appearance for Access Hollywood, I guess is what it was, 11 years ago, that people are saying, okay, well, we need to just get over it, which kind of seems to be, you know, it's everyone's favorite offense. Move on. Just forget about it. We'll talk about all of that. All of that and more this afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost an Hour, back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. Lots of things to talk about over there, as we've been talking about them for days, even though we had the weekend and then I was out yesterday, so really haven't gotten a chance to get into these discussions as much as I went. And then, of course, the conference last week, did the show live from there, and now kind of back in the groove. But, you know, this tape emerged from the recording of Access Hollywood back in, what was it, 2007, I guess, is when this was. Is that right? I may be drawing the getting that wrong. It was either 9 or 11 years ago, and I can't recall exactly. A long, ancient history. My goodness. We should just forget about it. It was such a long time ago. It statistically doesn't exist. I think I'll use the Rudy Giuliani quote. Statistically, these deaths that have taken place don't exist. I don't know if you recall that, but as mayor of New York, that's something he said when there was a health scare regarding some sort of flu or I don't know what it was, something going around and killed a couple of people, got New York in a tizzy. He's like, look, with as many people are that's in New York, these deaths statistically don't exist. Interesting defense. Such a long time ago, statistically, how does it even exist anymore? But of course, it was this tape of Donald Trump saying horribly egregious things about trying to make moves on a married woman, calling her a very disparaging name, saying things that he does to women frequently, especially if they're celebrities, because they don't care. Just egregious. And I've been round and round on this. Well, guys just talk that way. That's what I've heard so many times. Just, and even, you know, and we'll get to what Trump had to say in the debate in a moment, but this has been the immediate defense of Trump supporters. Well, that's just how guys talk. I honestly don't know these guys, and I'm glad that I don't, because if guys talk that way, if my friends talk that way, I promise you they would not be my friends. I promise you. And as I've said on Facebook just last night, yeah, it's one thing to use foul language and have a little bit of whatever, a potty mouth. That happens. I've heard priests You have some very interesting conversation, but it's not the attitude. It's just words. Those are just words. I agree. You can use certain things in even in anger, and they're still just words. They mean nothing because they're not directed towards someone, or nor are they describing something that you would do to someone. It's not the words that anyone's concerned about. It's the descriptive nature of what this was. First off, talking about the moves he tried to have. And there are those who say, well, you know, he didn't sleep with this woman because she didn't respond to his advances. Okay. So it makes it okay because he tried to sleep with a married woman. And I don't know if he's been successful at other times, but this was one where he certainly admitted to trying it. Nobody's really talking about that much. We're talking about the words of sexual assault, which I think are important to focus on. But if we're talking about moral clarity, a 59-year-old man who should at that point have all the moral clarity that anyone could ever hope to have at this stage of his life, at this point in his career, wouldn't you hope that someone of that age and experience, life experience, has some moral clarity? And I've heard everything, speck in the eye and plank. Now, look, this is a guy running for president. President. We should hold those who put themselves in this position to a much higher standard. Believe me, I'm the first to forgive anyone because I've done a lot of stupid stuff. I even put a post on Facebook kind of chronicling some of my early 20s behavior where I probably didn't treat women as well as I should have. Certainly didn't. Because I was a serial relationship guy, promiscuous. And I admit that. But even in that, I would never have talked about a woman like this. Nor did I. And I know that what I did was wrong, but I also wasn't in committed relationships. And it was just being young and stupid. I did stupid stuff and I hurt myself and I hurt others. And I know that. But even then, at my worst, at my absolute worst and my absolute wildest, I still had a regard for women that said, you don't talk about women that way. Even if I was objectifying them in my behavior because of what I did, I still felt like I had a degree of class and decorum, and I refused to even listen to that. Not that I've even heard that. I mean, please understand, I have never heard anything of that nature, ever, anywhere, with any guy that I've hung out with. And as I said in my Facebook post, I played a lot of golf in my day. Countless hours and cash I'll never see again. But it was something I did for a long time. So you're spending 6 hours on the golf course with somebody. Always, almost exclusively. I'm trying to think if there's ever been a time there's been a woman in a group of guys I've been playing golf with. I don't think so. I think it's always guys. So generally, a couple of us, in the least of four of us in a group, oftentimes alcohol involved, and guys will get loose, and they'll start kind of showing their true colors. Generally, as I said in my Facebook post, it's just sophomoric stuff. And I have said to guys on the golf course, come on, let's shape up here. Come on. Let's focus on the game. I've always taken my game very seriously. I've always tried to play the best golf and be as sportsmanlike as possible. To me, it's a gentleman's game. I'm going to go out there and be a gentleman. Let's do this. Let's be gentlemen here. Let's not get too loose. And I've even, like I say, I've admonished with fraternal correction those who I thought have gone a little bit too far. Even with my drunkest golfing buddy, or my drunkest state, quite honestly, because I've been intoxicated on the golf course. I've had to been in my 20s. I sometimes I wouldn't get through 18 holes. I couldn't even get out of the cart. I remember those days. But even through all of that, through every bit of that, never, ever, ever have I heard anyone talked about this way before. And that's called locker room talk. Yeah, as I've said on Facebook, I've spent a lot of time in the gym. Believe me, there were years where I was 7 days a week. I was working out all the time. I took my workouts very seriously. Never, ever have I heard guys talking this way in a locker room. Never. They're usually talking about themselves. Generally, if I hear a talk, they're talking about what they benched or what they did. It's not talking about women in there. Naked men talking about themselves. About how great they are. That's what I've heard. Never heard this. So, I love the Facebook post I saw where someone said, if guys are saying that this is just how guys talk, believe them. Believe them and get away from them. Because that's a dangerous guy. That's a potentially sexual predator there. So, in the debate, Trump was asked point blank about this. Did you actually do these things you said you did? And he said no. Said no, and then tried to deflect it into ISIS. We're going to take care of ISIS. I mean, that's all he wanted to do, is talking about ISIS when we were talking about this recording. Now, one of two things has happened here. Either Trump actually did do and has done the things he explained he did, as in pursuing the married woman, moving on her like a female dog, as he says in this, or has grabbed women by their genitals, and because he's magnetized to women, he can't help himself. He's going to kiss them even without them, which, I mean, what's worse, without their consent. Either he has done that, which is egregious, or he's lying, because he says he hasn't, but yet 9 years ago he said he did. So what is it? Is he doing these egregious things, or is he just lying about it to Billy Bush, the guy doing the interview, to be cool? Is that what it is? Because I don't know. I mean, Bush seems to be playing along in this thing, and I promise you, I would not be. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. I'm in an interview with someone, I would say, Mr. Trump, in all due respect, we're here to talk about something different. I would prefer that we keep this above board. Just so you know, I'm recording everything, and I don't think you would want this leaked out. You're a public figure, and it's not slanderous for me to release anything that we discuss here. This is on the record. It's all on the record with me. I just want you to know that, right? I would do that because I also believe in journalistic integrity, and that's another story. But anyway, something's weird. Something's weird, but that's not the only thing that's weird. We'll get into that when we come back. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
Enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Happy to be with you. Culture, Current Events Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. We got some current events and culture undoubtedly happening, which I think applies to our faith, and especially now that we see now confirmed and undoubtedly documented cases of evangelical leaders, church leaders, coming out and bailing on Trump support, which I think is great. I think that When you're going to stand for your principles, and, you know, we had this big evangelical endorsement, and this is this and whatever, and now with in light of the recent tape that we talked about in the first segment, which Trump is denying, not denying that it happened because it's on tape, he can't. He just says, no, I never did that. Basically, he's just trash talking. He's just talking dudes with dudes, kind of doing it, doing the whole comparative thing. Oh, yeah, well, you know, hey. Which my question is, here's Donald Trump, who at this point is a successful multimillionaire, supposedly. He's talking to a guy who's a wide-eyed, I don't know how old Bush was at the time, but he's a kid from Access Hollywood. Why do you think you need to impress him? I mean, if that's what it is, right? If it's this locker room talk of, as it's been called, that you're kind of one-upping somebody, why that guy? Now, if you're going to talk to another billionaire CEO, then maybe, you know, you're going to try to outmeasure someone. But this guy, right? I mean, on this level, why would you do that? If that's what it was. Or maybe you're just a real creep. And maybe you talk this way with people all the time and you brag about stuff that people really don't need to ever hear. You're certainly things you never need to do. So something's really weird. And then, of course, as I said before, to lie about it to Bush and pretend like you're doing this stuff, what the heck is up with that? Why would somebody do that? Which I don't buy. I don't buy that Bill Clinton never inhaled. And I do not buy that Donald Trump hasn't done the things he said that he had done on this tape. Now, I will forgive anyone. And as I say, you forgive and you don't forget. You don't forget. Because scars linger, Jesus himself retains the scars of crucifixion. Now, what he's not forgetting is the pain he endured and the suffering for our sake. And I think that we cannot forget that there obviously has to be some pain and suffering in this dynamic somewhere. Because if it's true that this woman was pursued by this man in this fashion, relentlessly to the point that she had to, I mean, I can't imagine that a woman would not feel victimized just by that. A married woman who is pursued so intensely. And why is it just this woman? The reason why he was sharing this story is because this was his co-host. So he was talking to Bush in a way that said, oh, yeah, that co-host of yours, and it goes on to tell a story. Weird. That's weird. The woman had to feel victimized. But then as he goes on to say that he just instantly starts kissing women and grabs their genitals, this is a concern. Because if he's done that, then there are women who are victimized. Now, I haven't researched this. I've heard that there are those who are coming out now saying, yes, this happened to me. But here you go, right? I don't always trust those. Just because I believe that there are opportunists who wait for these kind of moments and then jump. You can't tell me that that hasn't happened because it has. There have been cases where priests have been exonerated because they were falsely accused by someone who was simply trying to get a settlement. That's happened. So I have to believe that in this situation, there could be those who would be saying whatever. So again, I will research that. I don't know the dynamic of that just yet. But I do know this, it has tarnished his reputation, at least with some, not everyone. Those who are diehard Trump supporters or the Never Hillary crowd, they will vote. Okay, let's put it this way. If you're the Never Hillary crowd, you're going to vote for Satan himself before voting for Hillary. That's what you're going to do. You're Never Hillary. Doesn't matter who's running against her. You're going to vote against her and you don't care. Then I believe there are those who are Trump supporters, not just anti-Hillary, who really love this guy so much because they believe him to be such a refreshing change that he really could, as he says, shoot someone on the street and not going to lose any support. I believe that because, believe me, over the course of the past few days watching Facebook, that those coming to this guy's defense, it's astounding. It's astounding. And it's not simply anything but Hillary. It's no, I'm going to defend Trump. But I do find it interesting that now Kasich has come out, John Kasich, Ohio governor, and saying, I can't do this. I'm not going to endorse this guy. I was uneasy about his nomination, and I'm just not going to do it. You got Paul Ryan basically coming out and saying, you know what, let's focus on the congressional races. Let's look at the senatorial races. Let's really focus on that, which, as I have said before, you don't have to vote straight ticket. You don't have to. You like a particular congressperson, you like a possible senator, regardless of where they happen to be on the ticket, you can vote for them and you can vote for someone for president, or you don't have to vote for president and you can vote for all of those races, which I think is kind of what Ryan's saying. Hey, let's just look at this, because believe me, those are important positions, because the balance of all decisions hangs in that. So my goodness, don't sit it out. Just if you really can't vote for one of these candidates, and I get that, do not sit out the election, because the congressional seats, they're important. And that would be a disservice, because when it comes to the balance of power, as I said, when it comes to the executive versus the legislative, we've got to have checks and balances there. So please, please, please don't sit this one out. And I've heard that. I've heard, like, oh, I just got to sit it out. I can't vote. You may not vote, and that's okay. If you don't vote for the president, fine. Don't vote, because too much at stake. Do not let that happen. So evangelical support is waning. We see Speaker of the House Paul Ryan seemingly fading on his support. And then Kasich coming out, making the statements he's made. And yeah, I think we're just going to see more of this. National Review comes out and says, look, the Supreme Court is not a reason. Because that's what we're hearing now. That's all I hear. Oh, Supreme Court, Supreme Court, Supreme Court. I haven't bought that garbage from the very beginning, and I still don't. Because I promise you, if you know the Supreme Court decisions, and the thing that I don't think that those who are saying this have ever researched a moment of Supreme Court decisions. I just can't believe it. Because if you did, you would know. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I don't care how conservative the appointee is when they're confirmed or supposedly are the darling. There have been a couple of exceptions. I think Antonin Scalia was an exception. But my goodness, Justice Roberts is all the heck over the place. Alito's been around on things as well. We got to realize that there's no guarantees. And then religious liberty supporters, I've talked about this before, look at how some of the left-leaning, Sotomayor, she's been there on religious liberty for us. Elena Kagan, she's been there. She's voted in favor of religious liberty. So don't assume that it's going to be one way or the other. We don't know. We just don't know. What we do know is we have a couple of options, and one of those individuals will get in. But there are third parties. They're there. You could choose it. Again, you can focus on the other stuff, because it is such a crapshoot. And please, I encourage you, don't take my word for it. Go back and research Supreme Court decisions and look at some of the ones that you think are monumental, landmark decisions, and look at the makeup of the court. Look at what justices did what, whether they were conservative or liberal appointees. It's all easy to find. It doesn't take much research. Just dig through. I mean, just pick a handful. Which ones? Roe v. Wade? Obergefell? What are the ones? Doe? I don't know. What are the ones that really get you crazy? Go back and look at those. And when you look at them, examine the majority decision and see, are they liberal or or are they conservative? And I think you'll be surprised. I think at that point you may say, well, Leo was right. That crazy guy who I think is nuts because he won't support Donald Trump, maybe he was right, because this really doesn't seem to add up in any way, shape, or form. There's no rhyme or reason. There's nothing. There's nothing that you can say, this person is down. They're not congressmen. They're not senators. Maybe we could look at Congress people generally, senators, we could say, well, they got a voting record that's this way. You don't see that in the Supreme Court. That's not votes. They look at every decision differently, and you will be surprised, I promise you. More to come in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with me. And perhaps we should just retitle the show Leo Brown Trump Bashing Almost Hour, because, yeah, we're going to do that. We're at least going to look at things differently. We got Clinton's number. She is a pro-abort. She wants to ensure not only that Roe v. Wade stays intact. She mentioned this in the debate. She wants to expand coverage for abortions. She wants to get into, she's supported late term abortions. She wants to repeal the Hyde Amendment. We know that. We got her number. I'm not defending her. I'm not supporting her when I'm asking these questions about Trump. I think these questions have to be asked. There are a couple of big ones after this debate. One we've already talked about, either he's lying or he did these things, is both egregious. The other is that he's making claims that he's got support and endorsements from ICE. That is not true. A government agency cannot make an endorsement. He has a union of some workers, custom agents, workers that have endorsed him, yes. But not ICE, not the organization, not a government agency. It's not done that. The other thing he claimed in this debate was that he had done similar things to Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has made these massive deductions because he was talking about this business loss that came up, and he said, you know, it's smart business. Everybody does it. Warren Buffett's done it. Buffett came out and said, no, I pay taxes every year since I started paying taxes when I was 17 years old. And this is I'm audited every year like every rich guy is. And I'll release all my tax information because nothing prohibits that in an audit. Completely legal. I'll be happy to do that. You can look and see. Well, he says he took the deduction for charitable contributions as much as he could, but then ended up giving billions more in charity than he could even claim on his taxes. And no carryovers, no losses, no business dumps that had to be done in this nature. And again, legitimate tax law, who cares? If you're using it to your advantage, so be it. It's tax law. There's nothing illegal about that. You could question the ethic if somebody had way more money and they're just kind of playing the system, though that's a problem. I think any system, subversion is an issue. But when he claims, well, Warren Buffett does the same thing, and Buffett immediately comes out and says, no. Look at my taxes and you'll see. I mean, that's a concern. We need to realize that. And then I think throwing out the numbers of the generals, which just ends up being a a small percentage, about 4% of the generals and admirals and whomever he says had endorsed him. It seems like a big number, but now when you consider the thousands of them who are out there, a couple of hundred ends up being about 4%. So you got to look at everything in context. Nonetheless, the biggest concern for me is what is happening in this Russian deal. Because first off, Pence, just when was it, last week, whenever the vice presidential debate was, clearly says that he is opposed to Russian intervention in Syria and said that Russian military force should be met with American military force in Syria. This is what he said, which is sensible, that if Russians are essentially responsible for the crisis in Aleppo, which certainly appears to be the case, then something needs to stop. Now, Trump, on the other hand, comes out with a completely different position. Now, this is the question I ask. Did he even watch a debate with his running mate? Because he says, we haven't discussed this, and I disagree with that. That's a little bit misinformed, at the very least. Because the other thing that's troubling, and I posted this on my Facebook page, you could see it, Newsweek, with this article, that basically Blumenthal, I think I'm saying his name right, Sidney Blumenthal, who supposedly had been, well, was on the campaign with Clinton, but supposedly had been part of this cover-up with the Benghazi thing, and supposedly this email came directly from him, when it turns out it was a Newsweek article from whenever it was published. And the author is saying, this seemed really bizarre because it sounded familiar, way familiar, because I wrote it. And then it was supposedly leaked information from Blumenthal, which the question is, where did that come from? So either somebody is feeding information to candidate Trump, which he believes is a leaked email, or it's stuff that Russia is providing that is supposedly a leaked email only to thwart this campaign all the more, or thwart this election, to control this election, let's put it that way. And so what's really happening here? Right? It's like, wow. I don't know if this makes anybody else crazy, but this kind of stuff. And, you know, who's the pawn? Is it Trump? Is it the American people? Are Trump and Clinton in some kind of crazy cahoots? I mean, my goodness, right? This is crazy. This is crazy stuff. I don't think we've seen anything like this since Watergate, with this depth of behind the scenes. We don't know. We don't know what is going on in this, but it's weird. It's weird at the very least. And you know, the email scandal that everybody wants to go crazy on, that's almost innocuous by comparison. That's emails being used on a private server that she dumped to keep them off the private server when it was discovered that this had happened. And, you know, a small percentage of them were State Department stuff. Is that a concern? Of course, it's a concern. But I think it's undoubtedly, let's put it this way, it is undoubtedly insignificant in the grand scheme of Russian involvement, Russian manipulation. Who's getting played here? Who is it? Is Trump getting played? Is he just being a pawn in this whole game? Or are we? I don't know. And maybe Clinton's up to it as well. Yeah, I hate the conspiracy theory stuff. I just think it casts so many shadows of mistrust and doubt across so many different areas. But this one is weird. When you got a guy from Newsweek coming and saying, I wrote this thing that is supposedly this email. Where did this email even come from? Who's using this? Who's playing whom? So, wow. You know, I've never seen an election like this. I'm sure there have been others. I'm sure that many behind the scenes stuff in an election cycle and season is pretty crazy. And maybe I've just gotten closer to this one because I've been paying more attention. I don't know. I typically pay attention. And I just don't recall anything of this nature. I go back to John Kerry's bid and Swift Boat and the things that came. That's nothing. I think that that's nothing compared to this. You know, we wait for this October surprise. It's going to throw somebody under the bus in the election. First off, there's no throwing Trump under the bus. His supporters will go down in flames with him. If that's the case, they're not going to care. Anything but Hillary crowd will not care. And we have seen the Teflon-coatedness of the Clinton family for years. But, man, something's weird in this one. I'm sorry. When we've got a presidential candidate who says one thing while his running mate says another, that's a problem. That's a problem if they're not on the same page. And they're not, again, and the question is, where's the breakdown there? Is it because Pence is willing to veer outside? Even though his guy is saying one thing, he's going to distance himself a little bit? Or is there real distance there? That's one question. And then, I mean, the craziness of Russia in this equation. We know, Secretary of State John Kerry has been in this equation trying to get something worked out between Russia and the U.S. because Russia's on the side of Assad and Iran, and we're there supposedly supporting the rebels who are fighting Assad and ISIS, right? So it's undoubtedly a crazy mixed up world in Syria. But let's just forget about that for a minute. And you look at what's at stake and why would... Is it just because Russia wants the heat off in Syria? And what is the interest that Russia has? Why are they so interested? Is it oil reserve? What exactly are they trying to do in Syria? And who's got the most to gain from that when it comes to potential business dealings? These are quite... We're out of time. Follow me on Facebook. We'll talk about all of this at greater length over there. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.